Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Wow, what an amazing weekend it has been. Ben, fill you all in on all the great details. Of course, every day is the weekend, right? Because every day is Saturday. But hey, the calendar says Monday, September 22nd, 2014. So for those of you that are off to the J-O-B, we feel for you, but it's only temporary. It's not permanent. There's hope. There's so much in store for you. Your greatest days lie ahead of you. You just have to be able to think. Put a plan together. You don't got to think too hard. You certainly don't got to be that bright. And the guy you're listening to right now is certainly testimony to that. But you got to be a little bit unique, creative. You got to tune out the doubters, everybody who thinks they know what's best for your life. And you got to go with your gut, man. You got to go with what that passion is. That same thing that you're afraid to do is exactly what you need to do. That same thing that wakes you up at 3 a.m. every day, that's exactly what you need to focus on. So haven't done a show in a couple of days. Last show was Thursday. Friday, I spoke. Friday the 19th, I spoke downtown Cincinnati at the annual Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors event. Probably 300 people or so showed up down at the Horseshoe Casino. Horseshoe Casino, boy, I'll tell you, that was just built this past year in Cincinnati. Downtown, they've really revitalized downtown Cincinnati, and the Horseshoe on the banks here, the Horseshoe Casino. Wowee. I used to work downtown many, many moons ago and never had anything quite like that going on. So you got the casino, and then on the second level, you got a bunch of ballrooms and a really great meeting area, meeting space. So kudos to the Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors. Thanks for having me out. Really great venue, tremendous time. I delivered the keynote address to kick everything off at 9 a.m. and then closed it down around 4 o'clock or so. In between there, though, we thought that that day, I had some free time. I delivered the keynote between 9 and 10, hung around, chatted, met some really great people. If you were out there and you're listening to this podcast, thank you so much for coming out. I had a really good time. And then I went over to UC Medical Center where our baby Susan, who was born at just 24 weeks, is thriving and surviving. Went over to see her, as I do every morning. Met my wife over there this time. Normally we drive down together from our home here about 30 miles outside the city, but I was already downtown, so I met her over there around 11 o'clock. And we thought they may be taking Susan off the ventilator to allow her to breathe a little bit on her own, not entirely. They put a CPAP machine, which if you're not familiar with that means, it's the tubes that are kind of up your nose when you give oxygen to somebody as opposed to a ventilator that's inserted with a tube down your throat. So she just wasn't ready. We're kind of fired up about it. Angela went down Thursday night to hold her. There's been studies shown, certainly nothing that's scientifically proven, but studies have shown that skin-to-skin contact between a baby and the mother is really does wonders for the baby for whatever reason. It does. So Angela made a special trip down there Thursday evening, and I watched the kids at the house here, and she was down there for a few hours holding Susan, but she just wasn't ready. Her numbers just weren't there. And so Friday morning, they were hesitant to take her off the ventilator. That's kind of disappointing. I mean, look, it's been an emotional roller coaster, and this isn't just since the 5 weeks since Susan was born on August 17th. It's been since the end of June when Angela first started having complications as a result of the pregnancy, and then an entire month of July on bed rest, and then more severe problems into early August, and boom, you know, baby arrives at 24 weeks, and they had to hold the baby off till 24 weeks just to give her a chance, and the chances weren't good at all. But here she is. Wow. 5 weeks old yesterday, 30 weeks gestational age today. Just amazing. An absolute miracle in the making. If you're not following along, you can certainly follow my personal Facebook page. I've opened it up for public. If you go to facebook.com/Sam Crowley, you can view the progress of our journey here with Baby Susan. And, of course, if you're a fan of the Everyday Saturday Show, make sure you head over to everyday, facebook.com/everydayisSaturday. That's our fan page for the show. You can download a lot of great stuff, quotes and photos and inspiration. Of course, this podcast every day is posted there. So make sure you're plugged into us on Facebook. You can catch up on the journey. So Friday was a little bit disappointing. Saturday, the kids are off school, so we go down there around 9 o'clock in the morning. So we got down there sometime around the usual time, 9:30 or so. And we walk in, and the doctors pulled us aside. We have a kind of a team there that works with us, doctors, fellows, resident physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists, an entire team at the UC Medical Center. The doctors, mainly a lot of the specialists are there from Children's Hospital. They kind of circulate between UC Medical Center, Children's, Christ Hospital, the whole circuit there they work, the different attendee physicians. But they pulled us aside and said, hey, we're going for it. And I said, you going for what? I said, no, we're gonna take Susan off the ventilator this morning. And I was like, whoa, guys. I wasn't quite ready for that one. Because we were just, you know, we want what's right. Hey, look, I'm a maverick. You guys listen to me. You know that. I take a chance. Anytime the window's even remotely open, I'm jumping through. And I was all for it. I was just, it shocked me. You know, we were kind of jacked up the day before, and it didn't happen. So we were resigned to the fact that it's going to be a few more days before we get this window to really jump through. We certainly weren't expecting to walk in and hear the doctors say, hey, we're going for it. And they were excited. Here's the thing, man. Even though these doctors, our main attending physician, especially Vivek, who's amazing, he's an amazing doctor, but, you know, even though they've been doing this forever, 20 years, 30 years, they still get excited to, you know, see what's next. And Vivek, who's the attending physician, said, look, here's the deal with medicine. 2 + 2 never equals 4, meaning, you know, we could take her off the ventilator. She could fly. It'd be great. Awesome. We could take her off the ventilator and she doesn't last a few minutes or someplace in between. He said, medicine, 2 + 2 never equals 4, because I could give you aspirin for your headache and it goes away. I could give her aspirin and she gets a severe abdominal pain, and I could give somebody else aspirin and nothing happens. So you take the entire universe of people who get aspirin and you say, okay, 50% headaches go away, 50% headaches get worse. And so with the ventilator, she's got about a 50-50 chance of flying. And that's just based on everybody across the board. And once he said that, I started thinking, well, this kid has been bucking the odds since she was born. I mean, you know, she is really doing much, much better than a baby born at 24 weeks, you know, aside from the obvious issues. But, you know, there are this kid, if you're telling me that with most people this happens and with most people this happens, this kid ain't most people. I think it's obvious, especially if you're following the journey along on Facebook. I update every day. It's just amazing. This kid has just been, you know, incredible. So I felt a little bit better, but boy, it was about 10 o'clock when he told us that information. And he said, I go, what time are you going to do? He goes, well, as soon as we get everything there. I got to get the respiratory team here. Got to get we need a fellow here on staff. We need, obviously, the nurse is going to do it. So about 11 o'clock. So that left about an hour. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, if you've ever been in our corner, I know. I'm calling in one more. Can you give me one more favor, God? And you just stare at your baby, and she's on this ventilator, and she weighs 1.5 pounds, guys. So, I mean, we ain't talking something, picture like the size of your cell phone, a little bit bigger, as far as weight, too. It's just crazy. So 11 o'clock came, and they're like, okay, let's go. So the respiratory therapist grabs the CPAP machine and fires that baby up, and the nurse is removing the tube, and it's really kind of boom, boom. You know, nurse removes the ventilator from her throat, literally a tube down her throat, takes the tube out. That's really like threading a needle. I won't get into that, but imagine a little, eeny, bitty, 1 pound, 11-ounce baby with a tube. It's like threading a needle down the throat. Takes that out. Boom, right behind comes a respiratory therapist with the tube, the CPAP tube, and there she goes. And now we just stare at the monitors, you know, and of course there at Susan as well. So you look at Susan, you look at the monitor. You look at Susan, you look at the monitor. Heart rate drops, and you go, ugh. And then it comes back up. You're like, yeah. And then the other numbers that we're familiar with that I won't bore you with, but we just look at everything, and we're familiar with them because we've been staring at them for 5 weeks now. It's like we know every beep, every graph, everything that's going on in these machines. And it is an emotional 30 seconds. And she's breathing. she hated it. I mean, any kid, you know, she was sitting there sleeping peacefully. And they also had her jacked up on some steroids, too, which, if you've never familiar with the term roid rage, that's real. I mean, I don't know if you've ever taken steroids. I never have. I mean, I've never experienced roid rage. But even in the littlest of baby, a five-week-old, they're just, rawr, you know, they're uncomfortable and they're nasty and they're mean and they're, you know, it's just what steroids do. But the opposite effect, they want also to expand her lungs and get her ready and get her strong for this. And they were gave her a blood transfusion the day before. I mean, they were trying to literally just jack her body up to get her ready to be lifted off the ventilator. And I'll be damned. Hour goes by and she's still on the CPAP and off of the ventilator. Couple hours go by, she's still now she's kind of peaceful, you know. Oxygen settings are coming down, which is good. Oxygen, less oxygen is better. There's a number on her FiO2 oxygen machine that we monitor daily, and it's really the most important number that I focus on. And it is a level that you and I breathe in oxygen. We need about 21% help from the air. You know, we breathe about 80% on our own, okay? We need about 21% from the environment to breathe in and take out and breathe in and take out. And Susan's numbers are about 40, so about double, okay? And when they get up around 50, 60, where she was when she first came down into the NICU, actually she's probably much higher than that. They didn't think she's going to make it. She's up near 50, 60, sometimes 70% needing, meaning 100% you're doing absolutely no breathing on your own. You know, if it's at 60, 70%, then you're doing 30, 40% of the breathing on your own. So now she had, while she was on the CPAP machine, she was down around 40. So she was doing about 60% on her own. And this is a CPAP machine, so it's not a ventilator, okay? And I'm just saying all these terms because I'm in awe. I just got to tell you, man, we've been through a lot. I keep saying it's because I'm hosting this podcast, but my wife Angela's been through everything. You know, I'm sitting here just being the cheerleader and keeping everybody focused and asking questions and, you know, trying to do what I can do with the kids and take them to school. And, you know, when Angela's on bed rest, you know, feeding everybody, getting them out, taking McDonald's, cook dinner at home, vacuum, do laundry. I mean, whatever I can do to support. And I had no idea, like canceled all the speaking gigs and things like that. Here and there, I went and traveled on events that I already had signed contracts on. But it's just been an absolute damn roller coaster, man. And a good one at that. I have no complaints at all because we've made friends for life in this NICU. The nurses and the doctors and people like that, we consider them now part of the family. We got thousands and thousands of people on social media following us and praying for us and encouraging us, and you listening to this podcast and your emails and everything. It's just been amazing, absolutely amazing. So I would not trade this experience for anything. Would I have liked Angela and I liked a 40-week, full-term, perfect pregnancy like our other three were? Well, of course, you know. But we also lost a baby boy at 19 weeks, Matthew, and baptized him, gave him away 4 hours after he was born. His heart stopped beating at 19 weeks. It just wasn't, he wasn't going to live. Eyes weren't even open, you know. So that, we've experienced that part of life as well. So we're very thankful for what we have. And Saturday was just amazing. I came home, we left the hospital, and, you know, there really wasn't much to do there. We couldn't hold Susan, you know, obviously because she was just getting used to this whole process. And so we left after a couple hours and drove home, and I was just a wreck, man. I just didn't even know what the hell was going on. I'm watching the football games, the Florida-Alabama game here, and I just started welling up with tears, you know, just tears of gratitude, not any type of fear. It's just, I was thinking back to June 29th on my birthday when Angie and I went out for dinner and she first started feeling these complications, and then we drove back literally 2 days later after being in the emergency room twice, and you just start replaying this movie and how it started, and you feel like you're halfway through the movie, you know, and you want a happy ending. And now one of the big parts of the movie is she comes off the ventilator and starts breathing on her own. And you're like, oh my God. So we called down to the ICU unit a couple times Saturday night. She was doing great. Called down at 6:30 in the morning Sunday, which was yesterday. And yesterday afternoon, and she's doing fine, man. She's doing fine. It's just, it's a wild, wild ride. And it's actually very cool. It's actually very cool for a lot of reasons. Number one, if you thought maybe there wasn't a God or isn't a God, I believe in God more today than I ever have. I just, the way the human body works and the way everything connects and gets going and helps and fights and everything, I believe in God, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, more now than I ever have in my entire life. It has reiterated to me that my faith in God is so much stronger today. Babies are amazing. I mean, you and I complain about our, you know, we got an ache in our back or our foot, or we just ran, or maybe our stomach's off a little bit, and we complain and we bitch and moan about stuff that doesn't matter. And you got a baby fighting for her life there, as are the other babies in the NICU. They're all miracles. Fighting hard. I mean, against all odds. Not even a peep. Not even a complaint. Not even a whimper, you know. And the strength in people. You know, the people following our journey here, the hundreds and hundreds of messages and we get on social media that we can never reply to. So if you've ever sent me a message or anything like that and I've never replied, it's not because I didn't get it. It's not because I don't appreciate it. It's just overwhelming because I can't reply back. There's no way. And it solidifies the decision, you know, selfishly for me, talking about just Sam Crowley, myself right now. That's it. Just talking about me right now. To make that decision to quit my job in 2005, to go through all the pain and the mocking and the ridicule and the torture and all that stuff. And I say that torture word, certainly not in the context of anything that my daughter's going through or people that really do endure tougher times. But I'm talking about at the time when you make decisions, you think this is the end of the world. This is it. I've gone bankrupt. And to think that that was setting the stage for 9 years later to be there for my girl all the time. All the time. When Angela had to go down there Thursday night and hold her for the night for a few hours, I could take care of the kids. I didn't have to worry about work the next day, nothing like that. To be able to go down there every morning with my wife at 9 a.m. and stay there for a few hours and then go get my kids at school and continue to be an entrepreneur and work online and speak at an event here or there, not worrying about the boss. Do I got to call in sick? How many vacation days, sick days do I have left and things like that? Do I got to take extended leave and all of that stuff, right? None of that. And boy, I'll tell you, as you're going through your own journey right now, think about that. Think about 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You're not doing it for the bills you need to get paid in September, October of this year, or anything even the remainder of 2014. You're doing it for 5 years from now because there's something coming down the pike in your life that's going to be life-changing, just like this circumstance was with us, that you're going to be needed and you're going to be called upon. And you know what? If you don't put yourself in the eye of the hurricane now, you're never going to be able to withstand those strong winds down the road. If you're not willing to endure the pain now, which seems so great and so overbearing, like you can't even imagine you're going through the fire right now, you need to go through that because it's going to prepare you for much, much more challenging but way more rewarding times down the road. And I hope that makes sense today because this is a message from the heart. I mean, I'm a rah-rah, jacked-up guy, but man, it's all I can do not to get back to that emotional state I was in Saturday. It's just, it's tough, man. It's wild. It is a wild, wild journey. When you're seeing your own flesh and blood, your own baby lying there, you know, just, you know, like we talk about, one more breath. I'm wearing my pink bracelet right now that says one more breath. And that's what it's all about, man. It ain't about, you know, cars and houses and yachts and money and bank accounts and things like that. This is what it's about. And we've always stood and we've always declared in faith that we're bringing this baby home. When she's ready to come home, she is going to come back and we're going to be a family of six in our home, having Thanksgiving, having Christmas together when it's ready, when it's time. But boy, the emotions on Saturday, I went out for pizza and wings and just got brought them home for the family. And I was driving to get the pizza. I start crying again in the car. I'm like, I am not this guy. I mean, I'm not the guy that goes out to grab pizza for the kids and just, you know, can't see out of my, it feels like I need windshield wipers on my eyeballs, you know? Like, I am not that guy. But when life gets to you like that, that means you have passion. That means you have emotion. That means you care, you know? And if you get that way, it's okay, you know? Sometimes guys, especially guys, you know, the ego, the machismo, all that crap. You know, I joke with Shane Harden, Pastor Shane, on the podcast, like, he cries all the time. It's like, I don't want to be you, man. And he laughs. And that's the beauty of life, man, the yin and the yang. That's the beauty of people, good friends who completely opposite people. You can bust on each other. But I felt just all this emotion come at me on Saturday. And I just wanted to share that with you guys today. I have no agenda today other than every day when I do the podcast is to really just share my raw emotions with you and to let you know this journey is amazing, and I know you're on a similar type journey, whatever battle you're fighting right now, be it financial or health or relationships and things like that, that's all it is. It's a journey, you know? You don't know the ending. You don't get to pick how it's going to end, but you do get a choice of how you're going to act throughout the journey, the way you're going to take this on. And I really do believe, and I'll end the show today with this, I really do believe your outlook, your enthusiasm, your attitude really does play a difference in the outcome. I truly believe that. Whether you're going to leave your job, whether you're going to start a business, whether you're going to start a new relationship, end a relationship, whatever that is, I really, honest to God, I believe your attitude has so much to do with this. And so many people don't get that. They don't, well, it doesn't matter how I act. It's just going to happen the way it is. You know, it's all, you know, I think there is something to that. The outcome, especially it happens more in other circumstances than others, that the outcome, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen. But your attitude, I honest to God, I'm telling you guys, as sure as I'm sitting here talking into this microphone right now, I honestly believe that you can control much of the outcome with the way that you go about this journey that you're on. It may not be the outcome that you want, but that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is you can choose to be miserable, or you can choose to be a victim, or you can choose to be woe is me, or you can choose to focus on a lot of the negative. But I'll tell you what, man, just like the doctor told me, 2 + 2 = 4. And I believe that in medicine now because I've seen it. I've seen our miracle, our baby Susan, who is just busting through these barriers. I see it in business as entrepreneurs. 2 + 2 = 4 as an entrepreneur either. Because what could happen good for you may not be good for somebody else. Somebody else's, you know, experience, like me going bankrupt, you could buy a franchise and thrive and be a multimillionaire. It doesn't equal anything. What matters is you and what's inside of you. And not more importantly, what's inside two places. Number one, your heart, because you can't measure that in an entrepreneur. And number two, your mind. It's impossible to look inside the mind of somebody and say they've got that mindset. You know, they've been through this before. You know, hurricanes, they come and go through towns. You see them all the time, right? But yet the palm trees on the shore, they're always standing. Inland, buildings are decimated down to the ground, right? Homes need to be rebuilt, billions and billions of dollars in damage. But by the shoreline, the palm trees are still there. Why is that? Because they withstand those strong winds every morning and every evening. When the winds come in at 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, they build those strong roots. They bend. They don't get uprooted. And I think this journey we're on, we've been bent a bunch of times, financially, personally, with things that have happened in our lives, all to prepare us for times like this where we will not be uprooted. We will not be uprooted. Our tree is firmly planted where it is. So we stand in faith knowing that that's the case. Please do the same thing in your own personal battle right now, in your own personal journey. Stand in faith. Be the palm tree that is rooted right on that beach, knowing that the winds are going to come through. They're not going to uproot your tree. But the sun will shine again very, very soon in your life. And a lot of that has to do with your outlook on that and your personality through all this. And be a giver. Continue to give, no matter how hard it is to wake up with that servant's attitude and say, I'm going to give today, because as I help other people, that's going to help me get through this process. Are we cool? Thank you for letting me share this message, not only today, but every day on the Everyday Saturday podcast. My name's Sam Crowley. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.